You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year, from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, and graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 189. And in this episode, we will continue reading from volume 3. Today, we'll read chapter number 17. Jesus in Gesur and Nob, the celebration of the Feast of Purim. Jesus journeyed 7 hours northeastward from Rechob to Gesur, where he stopped with the publicans, many of whom dwelt on high roads leading to Damascus. Gesur was a beautiful large city garrisoned by Roman soldiers. Jews and pagans occupied separate quarters, notwithstanding which the communications between them were very intimate. The Jews of Gesur were, on this account, held in low esteem by those of other places. Many of the Jews and pagans of Gesur had been present at the Sermon on the Mount of Beatitudes, and some of their sick were cured by the apostles, who had recently visited the place. There was also a blind man who had been restored to sight at the instruction before the multiplication of the bread. The husband of Mary Suphan was from Gesur, but he was now residing with her at Aenon. When Absalom was fleeing from David, he took up his abode in Gesur for a time, as his mother Maacah was the daughter of the king of the place, who was named Tholomai. The apostle Bartholomew, who had accompanied Jesus hither, was a descendant of that same royal house. His father had for a long time made use of the baths of Bethulia, on which account he had removed to Cana and settled in the valley of Zebulun. It was owing to this that Bartholomew had become an inhabitant of that part of the country. He still had in Gesur a very aged grand uncle on his mother's side, a pagan and possessed of great property and riches. This old man resided in a large house in the heart of the city. He had himself conducted to the publican quarter in order to see Jesus, who was teaching on a terrace, upon which the merchandise passing this way was examined, taxed, and repacked. The old uncle conversed with the apostles, especially with his new Bartholomew, and invited Jesus to his house to dine. All the inhabitants, men and women, Jews and pagans, attended Jesus' instructions. It was a promiscuous audience. Jesus also took a meal with the publicans and many others. There was considerable bustle attending it, for the publicans were getting all their goods in order to make a distribution to the poor. When Jesus entered the pagan quarter of the city to visit Bartholomew's uncle, he was received with the magnificence according to pagan style. Carpets were spread before him, and sumptuous refreshments set forth, all in accordance with pagan manners. The pagans of Gesur adored a many-armed idol, which supported on its head a bushel measure filled with ears of wheat. Many of them inclined to Judaism, and many others to the doctrines of Jesus. Numbers of them had already been baptized, either by John or by the apostles at Capernaum. The publicans distributed the greater part of their wealth on the place upon which Jesus had taught. They heaped up great quantities of corn, which they afterward measured out to the poor. They likewise bestowed fields and gardens upon poor day laborers and slaves, and repaired all the wrong they had done. When Jesus was again teaching at the custom house before the pagans and Jews, some strangers arrived. Pharisees to celebrate here the Sabbath. They reproached Jesus for lodging among the publicans and for having familiar communications with them and the pagans. Bartholomew's uncle, along with 16 other aged men, was baptized in a bathing garden, the water from a well of the city being conducted into the garden by a very elevated canal. Yosef Barsabbas administered the baptism. The garden had been adorned in festive style. The ceremony was most solemn, and the poor were abundantly supplied with alms, to which the old uncle largely contributed. Jesus closed the Sabbath by an instruction in the synagogue, took leave of all the people at the custom house, distributed alms to the poor, and went accompanied by a numerous retinue, a distance of 5 hours to the fisher village on the borders of the lake of Phaela. This lake was on a plateau, about 3 hours east of Panaeus. He arrived late and lodged with the teacher in a house next to the school. The people of the place were, for the most part, Jews. Lake Phaela was scarcely 1 hour long. Its shores were sloping, its waters clear, and its outlet flowed toward a mountain where it disappeared. There were some boats on its surface. The region was covered with fields of grain and beautiful meadows, in the latter of which numbers of asses, camels, and other cattle were grazing. There were also groves of chestnuts. On both sides of the lake lay Jewish fisher villages, each of which had its own school. Jesus taught in the schools and went with some of the inhabitants and the apostles into the homes of the shepherds around the lake. John the Baptist had once sojourned in this region. From this place, Jesus with John, Bartholomew, and a disciple went 3 hours southward to Nob, a city of Decapolis. The inhabitants were pagans and Jews. They dwelt apart, the city being divided into two quarters, each of which had a somewhat different name. All of the cities of this part of the country were built of black, glimmering stone. Jesus taught in Nob and in some of the little places around. John and Bartholomew were with him, the other apostles and disciples being scattered throughout the neighboring country. Jesus prepared the people for baptism, which was administered by Bartholomew. The water in these places was black and muddy, but it was purified in great round stone reservoirs, whence it was allowed to flow into others that were kept covered. The apostles poured into some of the water from their drinking vessels, and Jesus blessed the whole. The people were inclined heads knelt for baptism around the stone basin. The pagans of Nob received Jesus very solemnly. They went to meet him carrying green blooming branches, stretched cordons on either side to keep back the crowd, and spread carpets for him to walk on. These latter were laid across the streets, and when Jesus had passed over them, they were raised quickly, carried some distance ahead, and held again in readiness for his approach. This was repeated many times, and as often did Jesus walk over them. The rabbis, who were Pharisees, received him in the Jewish quarter, where he taught in the synagogue, for it was the Sabbath of the Purim festival. When all was over, there was a banquet given in the public hall. During the entertainment, the Pharisees again disputed on certain points, and twitted Jesus upon his disciples, eating fruit by the wayside and stripping the ears of wheat. Jesus related the parable of the laborers in the vineyard and also that of the rich glutton and poor Lazarus. He reproached the Pharisees for not having, according to custom, invited the poor to the feast, whereupon they replied that their revenues were too small to allow it. Then Jesus asked whether the present entertainment had been prepared for him. And when they answered yes, He laid on the table 5 large yellow 3-cornered pieces of money attached to a little chain, saying that they might let the poor have them. Then he directed the disciples to call in many of the poor who sat down at the table and partook of the viands. Jesus himself served them and instructing them meantime and distributing to them quantities of food. The money presented by Jesus was perhaps the customary temple tax, usually paid on that day or merely a gift usual at the time. For the people on this feast interchanged presents of fruits, bread, grain, and garments. On this feast, they read in the synagogue the whole of the history of Esther. They did the same to the sick and aged in their own homes. Jesus also went around reading to the old people the role of Esther in healing some of the sick. I saw, too, festive games and processions of the young maidens and women who had great privileges on this day. Once they entered the synagogue as if on an embassy and penetrated even into the upper part, they had chosen one of their numbers as queen, whom they now escorted in regal robes and presented to the priests beautiful priestly vestments. They had some games among themselves in a garden. They chose sometimes this one, again that one for queen, and in turn dethroned them. They had also a puppet, which they ill-treated and then hanged, while little lads struck with hammers on boards and uttered imprecations. This was meant for a representation of the punishment merited by the wicked Amon. This concludes our reading today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Well, in the opening sentence of our reading today, and this is something we've heard day after day, I'm just kind of drawing our attention to it now, but it says, Jesus journeyed 7 hours northeastward from Rechob to Gesur. I just want us to realize here that Jesus was a man on the move. You know, when we call him an itinerant preacher, that's really what he was, that he went from place to place. When he says that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, well, he meant that, not only in his infancy, but also in his public ministry, that he's going around doing what the Lord God, the Almighty Father, wants him to do. So I just think sometimes, you know, I like to travel a little bit myself. I like to get away on my day off or whatever, and people like to talk about that, and I guess, you know, and Father's always on the move, always on the road or whatever, and I guess, you know, so it's a little relatable to that of the Lord Jesus. So we also heard that there was also a blind man who had also been restored to sight at the instruction before the multiplication of the bread. So he was present. He was with them. He had this healing happen, and he continues to follow. So that's the fruit, that's the grace of the healing, is ongoing call to conversion and following of Jesus, listening to his teachings. Here's a beautiful line too. They likewise bestowed fields and gardens upon poor day laborers and slaves and repaired all the wrong they had done. We in the Catholic Church, we love talking about reparation, repairing the sins of those who have died, or repairing the sins of those around us. And so we offer prayers and sacrifices and so forth. Well, we get reparation in our reading today. They repaired what was wrong. So we try to make whole again what is broken. And then if you don't know anything about the Feast of Purim, it is about Esther. Go read the book of Esther. You'll get the Feast of Purim then. I thought it was very interesting, you know, how they read the book of Esther. They read all of it, you know, just like we around the Christmas time, we read about the birth of Jesus. Well, they're reading the book of Esther, and they're going to those in their homes, those who are unable to leave. They're reading the book of Esther with anybody who will listen, and Jesus is going, and he is reading the book of Esther to them too. And, you know, just kind of parallel that today. Imagine the bishop of your diocese, going to the local hospital to do the communion runs, to visit the people there, just on an ordinary day, maybe not even around a feast like Purim for the Jewish people, or like on Christmas for us, but that would be what he would ordinarily do, that the Pope in Rome, that he would be doing something like that, you know? That's what it's like when Jesus is going about. Now, people don't necessarily realize the great significance of Jesus coming to them unless they've heard all of the stories and such, but the fact that the Lord, he's one with his people. He is with them. He's not over them. They're not under him. He's with them, sharing the good news. Well, this brings us to the close of today's reading. I hope that you'll join us again tomorrow as we continue making our way through the life of Jesus Christ and biblical revelation. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emrickpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. And if you don't mind, please share this podcast with others, share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to, so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until next time, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.